when we set out to pray, fast, and give, our intention was to find areas and ministries that are specifically, and I'm going to say this terminology, just we can recognize they're in sync with the Spirit of God, amen? We believe they're flowing in the Spirit. Now, there's a lot more out there. Many of you give to different organizations and different ministries because of the fruit of what they're doing and the evidence that they're flowing in the Spirit. But this is a great opportunity because here's the thing. I believe that wherever we give, we have a right to reap. Wherever we sow, plant, we have a right to reap. Some of you have kids that aren't walking with the Lord. They might not be human trafficked. They might not be in the sex trade, but they might be addicted to the darkness. So wherever we sow, we have a right to reap. So part of our giving in this phase is recognizing, Holy Spirit, we see that you're doing something here. And on behalf of that ministry, Stand for Justice and Sarah and Chad and their team, we're going to give. But Lord, it gives me access. It opens a door to go after a generation, to go after a demographic that is being abused. How many of you know right outside our backyard in Lapway on Native American reservations, there are more Native American women being just disappearing, being traded, getting caught up in the drugs and the sex trafficking. And that's right there. This isn't someplace else. It's right here. The porn addiction, it's not out there, it's in our homes. The reality of this demonic attack and presence is something that you and I need to discover. What access and authority do we have? Now, is this everybody's cause? Maybe not. I think we're all called to preach the gospel. There will be some that are greater advocates than others. There will be some that, because of personal experience, have a greater call. But what it also gives us access to is to recognize points of connection that you and I carry the authority to do. So we can run into other people in our communities, people that we hire, people that we work for, friends of loved ones, that they might testify or say, you know, oh, you know, my friend's son is caught up in porn or you know, there's sex trade going on. It's like, well, I actually know an organization. I know a group. I know people that are committed to this because that is how the message of the gospel works. Does that make sense? You and I can become aware of something and we can start to connect it. And what I'd like for you to stop doing is condemning those that aren't joining you because it might not be their mission. Do you hear what I'm saying? Because, and maybe not so much in this group, but you have friends, I'm sure, that will poo-poo on other people because they're not partnering with them. We call people to arms and only two or three show up, and then we speak negatively over the rest. Listen, that does not get us access to win their hearts, in the church or outside the church. If anything, what it lends us ourselves to and what we've seen done for years in the Big C Church is now we move to the tactics and schemes of the world of how do we manipulate people into partnership. And we're just not going to do that. And what I need you to do is start calling it out. Call it out in yourself first. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for being a puppeteer where I'm trying to control every situation. Forgive me for trying to manipulate people to partner with what I believe is the greatest cause. Because that's not how the flow of the Spirit works. And if we're going to flow in the Spirit, what we have to do is recognize the graces on each other's lives. Now, you might be sitting here going, I don't actually know if I have a cause. I don't know if I have a conviction about something. Then this is a great opportunity when you hear an invitation to something like this or something we're doing around here or some other ministry's doing. Why not participate to a degree where, Lord, show me where I fit. Show me what you want to do through me. Can I say it this way? You might actually have to join something to practice what God has actually called you to do. Because it doesn't just happen. It actually requires an exercising, a building up of your faith and your muscles. And so it might actually require you to step into a season where, you know what, I actually want to see the next generation, the children that we have right now, discipled in such a way that I will give my time and get over in that classroom. Now listen, if you can just imagine a preschool with me, the picture of a preschool, I knew early on, probably when I was in preschool, I wasn't made for this. Like the chaos, the boogers on the wall, the Oreos, the broken goldfish, the fighting over toys, the nap time, like forced naps. I mean, you know, that's why I'm fighting other issues right now because it's the mandated stuff that, oh man, you are not going to tell me to take a nap right now. And just picture that. God bless our preschool teachers. God bless every teacher. But they step back and they can see something that some of us just don't see. But I would take a preschool nursery any day over a mortuary or a funeral home. Pristine, order, but a lot of deaths, a lot of heartache, a lot of grieving, a lot of different type of weirdness that we just have to deal with when it comes to death and the passing of our loved ones. But there's a sterile nature to that environment that is so different than when you got kids flowing. And here's the picture. This is confession time. I want to look at that group and go, get in line. You know, come on, stand in your perfect little lines. Keep your hands to yourself. Don't touch anybody. No boogers on the wall. Eat your Cheerios. Don't put them on the ground. Make sure the goldfish are all consumed. And like, what is that? Like, that is no fun. That's no fun, Jeff. That's a type of order that the Bible is not talking about. If anything, the mindset of us being warriors is probably better displayed in a preschool than it is sometimes on the military field, where there is creativity in conjunction with our learning and our discovering and our interacting. Now, I love our military forces, and I honor those that have served. And there is things we can draw as a parallel and see in the Word of God. But when it comes to operating and flowing in the Spirit, some of us would be wise to turn to our preschool teachers and bless them and ask them, how do you do it? Like, how do you corral? How do you, and they might not even use the word corral. That's me, my language. Like, how do you corral them? How do you calm them down? How do you mandate naps? You know, I mean, snack time's a given, right? We all love snack time. But the picture there is so transferable to flowing in the Spirit. And yet what happens is somebody comes along and goes, hey, Josh, you know what? I'm going to take your crayons away from you because you're not coloring in the lines. And Josh is like, what line? You know, I don't see the lines. You know, or somebody comes along and Tom and Dave, I'm going to take your snack away because you're leaving crumbs on the floor. And now they're starving. Maybe not just from the snacks, but we come and we bring this religiosity of limitation. And yes, there needs to be order. Yes, God is very clear about what is right and what is wrong. But oftentimes, I think we stamp that on people way before we even get into relationship. And what I'm contending for this morning as we consider, and this is going to be a journey that I know I'm going to take you on as we ebb and flow and teaching and all that, but this journey of what does it look like to flow with the Spirit of God? And I said this last week, and I'm just going to highlight it again, and we'll get into it in a couple weeks. I keep thinking I'm there, but I realize I'm not there yet. The three areas that I feel like we are really needing to address when it comes to flowing in the Spirit is understanding prophecy, our authority, and the nature of judgment and discernment. How do we flow as a prophetic people? Because we're all called to prophesy. How do we flow in the authority? And then how do we exercise our authority in discerning and judging and separating? When Josh and the worship team call out holy, and they say, set your hands up, and they're holy. The word holy just means set apart. This microphone is holy to Jeff. It's set apart for Jeff. It's EQ'd to my voice. It even has my name on it. This Bible right here is holy to Jeff because it's set apart for me. It's mine. My notes are in it. My tears are in it. My spit is in it. I'm sure I've got coffee stains in it as well. It's holy unto me. Those clothes you're wearing, they're separate unto you. Could you give them away? Yes, and then they'd become holy unto someone else, but they're yours. Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God, distinguished from all other spirits, that is God. Holy Spirit, that's not his name. That's his nature. It's the Spirit. He is the Spirit of Jesus Christ that has been separated and distinguishable from all other spirits, which then should clue us into the reality of other spirits operating, having influence, having voice, having say with tactics and schemes. The idea of flowing in the Spirit is recognizing the nature of being separated unto the Lord, but then separated from the world. We still have to live in it. We still operate in it. We still have to contend with the issues of it, the craziness of it. But how many of you know that it's all temporary? I asked the question and I posed this thought to you before we got started. When you pray, Holy Spirit, come. When you begin to get into the idea of moving in the Spirit. When you begin to petition and say, like Revelation tells us, the Spirit and the bride say, come, Lord Jesus. Where is that origin? Where is that location of the Spirit's posture and position? Where do you think he's coming from? Where have you led yourself to believe that he is located? And what's unfortunate is that oftentimes most people have put heaven or Holy Spirit or the kingdom of heaven somewhere out there, as if I got to go to church on Sunday so I can experience the presence of God. Jesus made it very clear. The kingdom of heaven has come where? Near. The kingdom of heaven has come where? Near you. Jesus breathed on his spirits. Jesus breathed on his disciples. He breathed his Spirit into his disciples. And then 40 days later, they're sitting in this upper room. And all of a sudden, what happens? There's this rumbling, this sound of thunder, what looks like flashes of lightning, and these tongues of fire sitting on their head. How many of you ever lit in a butane or propane torch or a gas stove? Where did the gas come from? It didn't come out of the ceiling, and all of a sudden, it's lit there. The fuel, the nature of that spirit, the manifestation of Holy Spirit in that moment for tongues of fire was literally coming up out of them. They'd been baptized already, and now the Spirit is manifesting. It's like lighting a stove. You are the source. The kingdom of heaven is in you. The Spirit of God, you are seated already in heavenly places. So when we say, Holy Spirit, come, what we should be understanding is that he's going to come up from within us in such a manner that our spirit man is over here going, yes, yes, please, please. And our body might be over here going, oh my God, not another day, please. And we look at the dichotomy and the distinction, and our soul is stuck here in the middle going, yeah, that's lazy, that's too hyper, where do I go? That's why when we sing the song, speak over your soul, tell yourself to get up and join your spirit man that's been made one with the Spirit of God and do the jumping jacks. Raise the hands, shout the hallelujah, lay your hands on the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, exercise your authority, be in the flow of the Spirit of God. Now, some of you, you're great dancers, and you love the dance, and you love to dance, whether it's salsa dancing, you know, some of us, you know, we square dance, and some of us, you know, we got left feet or, you know, all these different feet that just step on each other. You know, some of you are still dirty dancing with someone other than your spouse, and that's got to stop. But man, dirty dance with your spouse. There's this walk, this union, this expression that, I look at some of you that are like a little wide-eyed right now. But you know what I'm saying. This idea of this waltz or this dance with the Spirit, it requires sometimes just learning how to do the dance. It requires, in some ways, just taking lessons. Where's a good place to go to get lessons? Right here on a Sunday morning. The purpose of equipping. And yet, I apologize because what we do sometimes is we tell you to sit in that seat and to dance. Well, how do you dance in your seat? You know, so during the time of worship, there's an opportunity to get on your face, to just sit. I mean, I felt like, for a moment there, I felt like the Lord, you know, I'm on my knees, you know, just kind of connecting with the Lord. And I just felt like the Father just told me, by the Spirit of God, flow with me, just sit and enjoy. And man, I sat down, crossed my legs, put my legs out, and I just sat there and I enjoyed. And here's what I'm enjoying. I'm enjoying my wife, you know, and the worship team, but I can hear you. I can hear you singing. I can't distinguish maybe your exact voices except for those that are around me, but I was a part of something far bigger. I'm flowing. And here's the challenge with flowing sometimes in the Spirit. Well, I hear God saying this and I hear God saying that. Or I believe the Lord is telling us to go right and I believe the Lord's telling us to go left. How could the Lord say two separate things? Super easily. Where is he calling you? Where we compromise, or maybe not compromise, but where we come to an agreement is going, what's our purpose right now? Our purpose right now is to all move forward, to advance. When you leave here, and that's why I just asked this morning, if you're getting words or seeing signs or you're carrying revelation that you know is for the corporate body, I'm not asking to quench the Spirit, I'm not asking to grieve him, but I'm asking for a time and a season of just activating your personal faith to recognize, I'm hearing the Lord, I'm dancing with him, I'm willing to learn how to dance with him. And some of this language, I get it, for some of you, I get the dancing language doesn't work, you know, some of you, you know, get in the boxing ring then, you know, and fight the enemy in conjunction with the Holy Spirit. Whatever the imagery you need to engage and be activated, go for it. You know, get... I don't know. I won't get stuck on that. But hear my heart. I'm not trying to lower it or, you know, make it so fluffy that it's like, oh, that's not really who I am. Find whatever analogy or illustration works for you. But the point is, be in step with the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:25. Walk in step. Ephesians 5, I think it's 18. Don't hold me to that. But being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's this idea of flowing. And when you come to an impasse where it's like, Josh is saying left and I'm saying right, there's got to be this humility that says, let's stop and let's consider what the Holy Spirit is saying for right now. Because the beauty is, Josh might actually be hearing something that's for tomorrow. I might be stuck on something that was from yesterday, and we're both missing the moment. Or The Holy Spirit is so profound in how he speaks, he might actually be saying, I need you to go left and I need you to go right, which then would provoke us to ask the question, then how do we do that? And then he gives more wisdom and discernment. But the idea of flowing in the Spirit stems out of this place. If you'll turn to James 1, and I'll just keep you a little bit longer to set this foundation. James chapter 1, thank you, Jesus. James chapter 1, verse 19 says this. This you know. Say, I know this. Oh, say it like you mean it. I know this. All right, James is speaking to us. This you know, my beloved brethren. But everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Amen? All right. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted. Where's the word been planted? In us. The Spirit of the God, the Spirit of the Lord. We've received it. Now put aside everything that's going to hinder you from flowing with him. The picture this morning and throughout the word is the idea of a river. And we'll look at it in a moment and look at it prophetically in a moment as we kind of bring this time to a point of commissioning. But this idea of flowing requires letting go and removing restrictions. And specifically, we understand that there has to be this putting aside of the filthiness and all that remains of wickedness. Now again, this you know, as a born-again believer, you are a new creation in Christ. You've been made new. The Holy Spirit is working in you to perfect you, meaning some of your thoughts aren't the same the way they were, used to be. Your habits have changed. Continue to get rid of that wickedness by being in sync with the Spirit. When I first got saved, I was not in a good place. I had a lot of time with just drinking, and I never got into the drugs because of the athlete that I was, but the drinking I thought was okay, and I had this roommate. Some of you know my story. Got led to the Lord, had a radical conversion. Jesus, you know, showed up in my room, saved me from committing suicide, audible voice, totally transformed my life in that moment. However, the working out of that transformation didn't happen overnight one time. Because a couple days later, I found myself at a party, just plastered, and I'm sitting in this recliner chair, absolutely blitzed, and I'm looking around at my environment. I'm cognitive enough to look around, and I see people running to the bathroom vomiting. I see people slouched over on the couch. There's things going on in the corner, and I'm looking at that scenario, and something in, and I'd been there many times, and all of a sudden, something inside of me began to scream, you need to get out right now. And I'm like, why? Like, what, why? Get out right now. And honest to God, I literally like slumped out of the chair on my belly, and I crawled out of that house, down the steps and outside, and ended up just passing out in the lawn. I had never heard that voice before. I had never had a desire to get out of that place. All I knew is that 4 days earlier, I had this radical encounter with God, and I'm born again. I didn't have the language, but I knew Jesus, and here I am sitting in a party that I'd been to many times, in a state that I'd been in many times. All of a sudden, something inside of me saying, you need to get out. I dated some girls, and I dated some girls while I was dating other girls, and all of a sudden, the Lord, this is not who you are. Yes, it is. This is what I've done. This is who I've been. This is what do you mean? This is, who are you? Where is this voice coming from? Holy Spirit's asking me to move with him, to flow with him, to walk with him. I didn't have the verses. I didn't have the scripture. I didn't need it at the time. What I needed was to recognize this is not my voice. This isn't like the other voices I was hearing before I got born again and delivered. This is a new voice. And he seems to have my best interest in mind. Maybe I'll obey. And I humbled myself, and I apologized, and I repented, and, you know, I had to break friendships. But all of a sudden, I realized the power of this verse, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains. Listen, even though we're born again, and you and I are a new creation in Christ, there is still part of that old nature that is not a part of us inside, but it's in our thoughts. Can I share this with you? Look at this is the revelation I'm sitting on in thought of flowing with the Holy Spirit. And I don't mean anything. If you think I'm talking to you personally, I'm not. If we need to have a talk personally, we can. But I'm not taking any conversation that I've had with anybody personally. Well, maybe Mike, but no, just kidding. And I'm quickened right now for you to understand something. If you're going to have a conversation about encountering Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and it doesn't lead to the revelation of his return for a holy bride, I will challenge the depth of that actual conversation. Because anytime we encounter Jesus, we need to recognize his single most excitable moment is, I'm coming for you. I am coming back for you. I have a kingdom that the gates of hell cannot hold me back. And I have given my spirit as a seal and as a guarantee. Now, I believe we can have encounters with heaven and not always see the return of Jesus. But I've been hearing a lot of encounters of heaven, and that's not the heaven I want to go to. And that's not the heaven that's coming after me and you. The divisiveness, the okay nature of letting sin go uncalled out. And I'm not talking about condemning people or shaming people. I'm talking about coming alongside someone and going, let's figure this out together. But every encounter with the Lord, do you get this? Every encounter with the Lord, when we sit with the Lord, there is an aspect of him that needs to penetrate our soul and our flesh that says again, you are valuable and I'm coming for you. You are valuable and worth it and I haven't abandoned you or forsaken you. And all of a sudden, that voice, that conviction, that revelation should get us on our feet to go, Holy Spirit, what are we doing today? Holy Spirit, what are you doing? The whole reason we called ourselves Echo Hills wasn't just because we're on Echo Hills Drive, but it's because we got a revelation and a conviction of John 5, and I believe it was John 12, where Jesus says, I do nothing but what I see my Father doing. I say nothing but what I see my Father saying. Every prophetic word, if it's a true prophetic word from the Spirit of God, is actually a reiteration or an echo from the Father's heart. And people want to come and curse us saying, don't be an echo. Then you've misunderstood who we are. Because anything coming out of my flesh, out of my soul, or the world that is of any value will not be eternal. I want to be a spokesman for the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Therefore, it has an origin. It has a source. And that source is the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And when I hear it and you hear it and we choose to reiterate it or do it as we see it, guess what you've become? You've become an echo. You've become the resemblance. You've become the image of who he made you out to be in the garden. There is a place that, yes, come on, Lord. There is a place that you and I have to get to where we recognize that this right here, this flesh, this body, this building, this time is so temporary in respect to the eternal kingdom. And Lord, I don't want to get stuck here. I want to flow with you. Because if we'll flow with him, we'll just get closer. We'll get closer. Get rid of all that other stuff. A few more verses and then I'll close with a verse. Says, but prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude or deceive themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. What's James saying to us? He's saying that you can have all the words of faith, but if you have no action, no evidence, no substance to it, then it doesn't mean a whole lot. It's like a man that goes and looks at himself in the mirror and goes, man, I look really good today. And then walks out and then lets the world tell him how he looks. The idea here is that, Lord, if we're going to see the evidence, then we have to connect our faith with our actions. We have to connect our actions to our faith. And if you want to grow your faith, then examine your actions. If you're questioning whether your actions exemplify faith and speak of King Jesus, let somebody else come alongside in the spirit of friendship and in the flow of the Holy Spirit and say, hey, can you just examine my life and just help me understand if there's things that maybe I'm blind to, things that I do, character flaws. I've got friends in my life, and praise God for them, that come along and they remind me, smile, Jeff. I don't see my wife here right now, so oh, there she, oh, you're hiding over there in the corner. But oftentimes she sits right there or sits somewhere in front of me because we've got this cue, so I'm going to look at you right now. I love what I'm doing, and my intensity shouldn't be interpreted, and I hope it's not, and forgive me if it is, shouldn't be interpreted as like an anger or an angst against you as much as for you. I really want to see us walk in the evidence and to the level that God has called us to. And I know sometimes I'll get, you know, my finger comes out and Jacqueline's like, you know, just tuck that back in there, Jeff. And it's like, yes, you're right. I'm sorry. You know, don't use words like dirty dancing. Yes, you're right. I'm sorry. I won't use that word again. You know, Jacqueline's our phrase in our marriage is Jacqueline flows. I mean, you could see that this morning during worship. She just loves to flow. She leads others and equips them, and it's just beautiful. They can just flow. Man, I make boxes. I love boxes. Man, I got labels on boxes. I've got boxes in boxes, and, you know, I'm a box guy. Post-it notes are great because they're in the shape of a box. And, you know, there's a flaw in that, and I'm working out my salvation. But I guarantee you, there will be a job in heaven that God will allow me to assemble boxes, gift care packages that are shipped around the globe in the new earth and the new heaven. I'm expecting it because I love the nature of a box. I love stacked boxes. I love orderly boxes. And the problem is now when you come in contact with me and you're not a box person, it's like, well, that's not the Holy Spirit. Or the worst part is, oh, Jeff must be right and I must be wrong. We either think too high of ourselves or we think too low of ourselves. What if we could come to a place of grace and just recognize, man, Josh, I love the way you flow. Can I loan you a box? Will you flow through my box, you know? But this grace, yeah, exactly, yeah. Yeah, don't ask me what's in the box. You know, I'm unpacking some of that stuff. But the picture is, Lord, this is who you've made me to be, and I'm still working on being a better expression of your likeness by igniting my faith with my actions. That's why when Josh talks about commissioning us and sending us out the four walls of the building, we're called to be marketplace ministers, priests, prophets, and kings. And the beauty of this is found in Ezekiel 47, and I'll close with this. Marnie, I don't know if I put that in my notes. It might be a few verses down. But this is Ezekiel 47. And if you're not familiar with Ezekiel, what an incredible book. It is filled with so much metaphorical symbolism. It's like the book of Revelation in a lot of ways. If you've ever read the book of Revelation, the book of Ezekiel is the Old Testament likeness of it. But Ezekiel here, this prophet, he's brought us to the place in these passages where he's actually describing a future temple. And it's actually the only temple in the Bible that's described in such detail, yet was never built. You know, you had Solomon's temple, and you had Herod's temple, and you got David's temple, and the different uniqueness. You had Moses' temple. But Ezekiel here is painting a picture of a temple, a future temple. And we call this actually the New Kingdom temple. And you can go into Revelation 21, and you can see the similarities in the descriptions. But what Ezekiel here is actually painting for us is a picture of your life and my life in Christ. And I want you to see that as we prepare to transition and go about our week. Because if we'll get this understanding, flowing with the Holy Spirit all of a sudden becomes less complicated. I won't say that it's simple, because there is a profound nature to walking in the Spirit. But I think some of the confusion and some of the debate of like, what should I do? Should I pray for that person? Should I talk to that person? Do I write them the card? Do I share the verse? You know, all that issue will, I think, make sense if we will just recognize this incredible prophetic picture of how God showed Ezekiel his end time temple. So would you look at this with me? Then he brought me, so this is the Lord, brought me back to the door of the house. Who's the door? Jesus is always the door, and the house is the temple. Who is the temple now? We are. Jesus is the door. We are the temple. Then he brought me back to the door of the house, and behold, water was flowing from under the threshold of the house towards the east, and the house faced east. Sometimes when you read prophetic language, there's direction is important, and so that's usually pretty specific, but we're going to hit on something here that I also want you to begin to take into your Bible studies, and that's the issue of measuring. And when the word talks about measuring, most often it's talking about time. When the man went out towards the east with a line in his hand, like a tape measure, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he led me through the water. The water reaching where? So picture the temple right here, 1,000 cubits out, measured. The water level that is flowing out from the threshold, flowing out of that door, flowing out of Jesus, flowing out of the temple is 1,000 cubits out, only ankle deep. Now, I don't have a correlation for what 1,000 cubits means in time, but we do know that Jesus is the door. He's the Savior. He's the born-again King. He's the one that has opened up the access to heaven and allows his Spirit to flow. So in the early years of the church, the nature of the Holy Spirit, ankle deep, and yet how profoundly impactful was it? They were seeing their numbers grow daily. So if we look back and we go, Lord, we want the church to be like that day, we're actually missing what you and I have access to today. Keep reading. He measured 1,000 cubits and led them through the water reaching their ankles. This is all prophetic language. Again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water. So now he's 2,000 cubits away from that door, Jesus Christ, the threshold, another period of time, and there was another measurement. And he measured, and the water reached where? My knees. Another period of time where the increase of the water has happened. The animation, the evidence, the working of the Holy Spirit, more people being saved, more revelation being unpacked from the Word is all of a sudden present as you and I walk out in the Spirit. The water here is the Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit himself is present, but the evidence of his presence has increased and is increasing. Stay with me. Again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water reaching my hips. Again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that could not wade. I could not wade across because the water had risen enough water to swim in, a river that could not be crossed by wading. That is where we are today. The nature of the Holy Spirit is so present that you and I shouldn't waste any more time wondering, Holy Spirit, are you here? Because the promise of the prophetic kingdom and the working of Jesus Christ as a door, the overflow of the temple, the move of the Holy Spirit through time has brought us to a place where you and I are now able to swim in it. Meaning it is so present. He is so at work. There is no need for us to look at Josh who may need healing going, is there a healer in the room? The water is over our head to where, Lord, overflow from me as a born-again believer. If you find somebody out on the street or in your workplace that doesn't know the Lord, you don't need to look for a pastor. You are it because you're in the river. The level of the river that is flowing out of you and me is so abundant that the illustration, the prophetic picture is that you can swim in it. And how much more do you and I have than Moses, than David, than Joshua, than Solomon, than Elijah and Elisha? How much more do we have than Paul and Peter? How much more do we have than those patriarchs and matriarchs and martyrs? Because as the kingdom expands into this realm, as we have prayed like Jesus prayed, your kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's like taking that day of the cross and the Lord is measuring out, going, there's a day when it won't even be an issue of how high it is because it will fill everything. That is the day we are headed to. That is what we are to be flowing in. That is the nature of making sure that we're not just hearers of the word, but we're doers of the word. And then examining what type of doer am I? Am I a doer that's stuck in a mindset thinking, oh man, the presence of the Holy Spirit is only ankle deep. We're not going to get a lot done today. Or it feels like it's only ankle deep. Or so-and-so's barking and so-and-so's rolling on the ground. It's chaos in the room. Holy Spirit must only be, you know, an ankle deep. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter who you are with because you are the vessel. You are the temple. Jesus is the door. And he's saying the water level is something you can swim in. The water level is something that some of you would be super blessed if you did this. And you just put your back and floated and just enjoyed for a moment the current of goodness. Come on, no storm is what? How did you say that? Jesus never blessed the storm, but he said something else that caught my attention. Something about the storm. It's like, what did he say? Yeah, no storm is safe. I love that. Come on. Like in the river when we're flowing. And here's the other picture that I get. I know I keep saying I'll close with this, but we do a lot of rafting. And, you know, one of the things that we've loved is we've rafted and we've grown up rafting and raised our kids rafting is when you get into that kind of slack water, it's still moving and it's so clear. And the size of the boulders under the water to the point that, you know, we get out and float and you can stand on them. And yet when you're on top of the water just floating, man, they have no impact. Part of the current, but I'm not worried about hitting them versus other parts of the river where it gets really shallow. And depending on the season, we have to get out and push and walk or, you know, and recognize some of us have a mindset that these issues of the past are still above the water. When in reality, the Spirit's presence in our life and allowing ourselves to flow with the Spirit has put those things so deep into the water that we're actually not going to stub our toes on them. We're not going to get hung up on them. The raft isn't going to get caught in an eddy. It's going to keep flowing. And if we'll come to a place where we trust the Lord and we begin to recognize, Holy Spirit, I'm flowing with you, all of a sudden we're going to see salvations like we've never seen them before. We're going to see healings like we've never seen them before. We're going to come into a place where we recognize the flow of the river actually determines what is right and what is wrong. Do you understand that? The flow of where the river goes, where the Spirit of God goes, actually determines what is right and wrong. If I will just stay in the Spirit, then I can get rid of the worry or the fear, the anxiety, or even the sense for me, sometimes the responsibility. Some of you, you come to church on Sunday, and I just want to say this. Thank you for the effort that it takes you to get here. I mean, my goodness, raising three kids, trying to get them to church. The wife is the pastor, the worship leader. I'm the pastor. And I'm thinking, I think I lost my salvation on the way to church. Just dealing with my three kids. I am so not prepared to preach or pastor. I'm looking at Jacqueline going, don't pretend you're a worship leader this morning because of the way you talk to me, you know? You know, I mean, I never confessed that, but I'm sure my eyes said enough and I built the box, you know, for her to live in. But can I just say that I get it. Getting here is not always easy. And then when you get here, you feel like you're in the mud and the muck. Can we just shift that and just all agree there's a grace to recognize and see that, man, we are in a place where the depth of the water is something that we can swim in, something that you and I can move in. And if we'll extend that grace to one another, I guarantee you, the worry, the weight, the fretting, the anxiety of what should we do? What does it look like? You know, some of that will just go away because it's obvious we're going this way. And if you don't want to go that way with us, if you go and read Ezekiel 47, the hard part about this prophetic picture for me to understand sometimes is that there's this picture where the Lord shows Ezekiel these people that are fishing on the side of the river, and they're pulling up incredible catches. And as I sit with the Lord, I think of how many people are okay with a proximity to the river of life but aren't in the river of life. How many people are okay benefiting from those of us who are wading, swimming? And there's a part of me that just would love to just say, man, as we're floating by, just grab their hand and pull them in. And I've tried that many times. Some of them have drowned, unfortunately. You know, I mean, metaphorically, they didn't make it. Others I've sat along, I thought, well, if I just sit along the side of the river with them, that'll lure them in. And then we came into this season where the Lord really spoke to us, how do you make someone hungry? You just feast in front of them. You eat in front of them. Sitting on the shore with them isn't the same as eating in front of them. Show them how much fun the river is. Show them the joy of the river. Show them the beauty of Jesus Christ and the salvation that he's offered to each and every person that walks the earth. And some of you will know men and women who are okay just benefiting from the blessing in your life. But let our hearts never be tarnished or hard. Let us continue to get rid of that stuff and flow in the river. For some of you, just in a closing thought, I realize that as you've walked with the Lord and you've gotten in this river and you've moved with him, your loved ones are on the shore. And you might feel like you've moved so far down the river now that you can't see them. You've gone around the bend. But here's the beauty of it. There's people that are still coming down the river that God will use to potentially bring them. And so if you feel like you missed your opportunity or you had to let them go because it's what the Lord called you to do, God never let them go. God didn't leave them on the side. He knows exactly where they're at. And what you should be praying for are the people that are up river from you going, Father, would you give them eyes to see my loved ones? Would you give them the heart to minister to those that are still along the shore? Some of you need to look a little further down the river and see who's coming up. It might be your boss. It might be your neighbor. It might be someone that you don't even know, but you're prepared for them. You're prepared to see them on the shore wondering, what do I do with my life? What value do I have? What purpose do I have? Where am I supposed to go? And as the Spirit of God leads you to them, that you'd begin to intercede as you see them. You'd begin to call out to them. You'd begin to trust that the Lord has led them to the shoreline, which means they're really close. They're really close. Let us be people who walk in faith by not just being hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Amen. Would you stand with me as I send you out this morning? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the beauty of your word. We thank you for the power of your word. We thank you that, Lord, your word equips us. Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you for being a river of life that flows through us, that we are submerged in you. Father, may we be a people that don't look to far off places for you, but we recognize as born again believers, you're right here with us. We're in you and you are in us. And Lord, the depth that we are in you, even if you're born again today, if you give your life to the Lord today, guess what? You're just being thrown into the depth of the river and the rest of us will help you swim. Hopefully, come on, hopefully. Look around. Who's new to this? Who's uncertain of this? Who feels like, man, I'm just flailing and you know, all I got is the doggy paddle and I see Josh up there or Jacqueline up there and they're like doing the backstroke or the breaststroke and all these comparative things that we do. Father, forgive us. Let us turn to one another and encourage one another, equip one another, and just continue to flow with you, Holy Spirit. and go where you've called us to go. And so I just reiterate the prayer we prayed earlier. Hands and feet, you are holy. I am holy. We are holy. And Holy Spirit, we're going to trust you to lead us. And I pray that each and every one of you in this room would find yourself in a place where when you hear the word, you go after the word with activity. That you would measure your faith with the activity of what is actually your speaking of your faith. That, Lord, we would see the power of doing your word. And that, Lord, there are plenty in our path. There are plenty in our path that just need us to flow with you, Holy Spirit. Because how many of you know there's more than enough room in heaven? Come on, there's more than enough room in heaven. We haven't even begun to fill it. It hasn't even began to feel like a sardine can. Come on, we're called to harvest, to sow and to reap, to bring the gospel message and let the Lord who has spoken to them, who has called them by name, be glorified. Amen? God bless you. Be blessed this morning. We're going to start fasting tomorrow in whatever capacity that looks like. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon. If you have your offering, feel free to drop it off in the bucket. Otherwise, be blessed. Amen? Amen.